entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Looky here, bitches. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. I'm over here fucking your mother. You fucking dick knobs.
It's criminal. There ought to be a law. Criminal. There ought to be a whole lot more. You get nothing for nothing. Tell me who can you trust. We got what you want. And you got the lust. If you want blood, we're United. If you want blood, we're United.
You can do that.
Blood on the streets, blood on the rocks, blood in the gutter. Every last drop you want blood, we're United. Kiss your hand.
Style show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homo is good punching.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It's your Tuesday Night Miracle, the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. That's right. Tuesday Night's Miracle is always prefaced by, you guessed it. Haha, who are they? Rammstein! So nice tonight, so nice. Everybody, just give yourselves a round of applause. You are beautiful. Thank you for tuning in to the DJ New Style Show. DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. I appreciate people that are downloading this. It's weird to speak in tenses, but sometimes you have to do it. So our buddy, my friend and yours, the germ free, can understand. Frank, what are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Kenny?
No, not how are you doing. What are you doing?
I'm not doing. I'm waiting for you to start.
Okay. Is that better? Is that better? I think we need to get change.
Oh,
up a
I see
bit.
What you're saying. Okay.
What are you I doing, what... Frank?
Right.
And then you tell me what you're doing, and then we move on. A little bit of banter. Little bit of moving on.
What's up, everybody? What's up, White House Brent?
No, fuck White House Brent. You know what?
All right, you know what?
Too much limelight. Too much limelight for White House Brent.
We gave him too much fucking attention.
The guy needs a fucking hat five sizes larger than he should have needed. His head is gigantic right now. He's telling his friends online nothing because it doesn't matter to him or anybody else. But this is the DJ New Style Show. I'm Ken. He's Frank. We like to talk about poop. And it's a sad day to me. It's a sad day, Frank. We've kind of had to move on a little bit. We've had to grow. A piece of American television is now in the books. It's in the record books, Frank. We've talked about this. We've followed it religiously. Do you know what I'm speaking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're fucking serious. Are you serious? This is your whole fucking thing. This
I know, I'm only kidding.
You
I'm
son of
kidding.
A bitch. You
I'm only kidding, you bastard.
Hi, I'm Ken. I'm 29 years old.
No, yeah. That's
Ken,
I thought we were going to talk about that for a little bit first, but okay, we'll go.
Frank, is your air conditioning on?
My air conditioning's on. But I did what you did. You said that in your house. I always ask you if you have your air conditioner on. You say it's always on.
It's always
but
on.
But you say you keep it on a certain temperature all the time.
Except for right now, because I think my sack is now stuck to my chair through my pants. And I don't know how it happens, but I guess you get to that level of oversaturation where your ball sack could actually stick through cloth onto fake leather. It's amazing. But yes, I am 29 years old. I had a birthday. But that's not important. We'll get to that later, Frank.
Okay.
A chapter in our lives has closed.
It has.
It has.
Do you Wes,
want to, do you want to tell
yes.
us about this a little bit?
The conclusion on Sunday night of the best show of all time, or what used to be the best show of all time, Daisy of Love.
It's over.
It's over, Johnny.
But you know what, Frank? She found love.
No. Let me tell you a little bit of what would have happened here, okay? She narrowed it down to my pick from the beginning was Six Pack / Dave. He was my pick. I said from the second week he was my pick. I think Barb picked some wrestler dude. I don't even know what the hell his name is, and then he was out in like the fucking second round.
His name was the Mountie. He was a lesser known combatant in the WWE or WWF at the time, but he did not win.
Right.
Joining us, our friend, your friend, my friend, Barbara, a girl.
Hello.
Is it just Barb now?
Sure.
So, you sound somber, and rightfully so.
It's not a happy day, Ken.
It's
not a happy day for
us.
It's
completely miserable.
So it was Sunday night was the finale. It was narrowed down to three individuals, Six Pack, Flex, and London. London was the rocker. Flex is the.
Can I ask you a question, Frank?
Go ahead. I apologize.
Who in the fuck is Six Pack?
Since
when 12. Did fucking the 1-2-3 Kid get on fucking
pack.
Reality shows on VH1?
12 Pack. 12 Pack is the guy from Jersey. This is a big muscular dude.
Wow.
He's he's the pack. He's the whole deal. You know what
he's
I'm saying?
He's the what?
He's the package.
You were gonna say he is the package.
Was that gay?
After calling him a big muscular dude.
Oh God! But listen to me.
You're talking about Dave. He would like to be called by his first name.
Right. He didn't want to be called 12 Pack anymore because 12 Pack was a name given to him by somebody else. He wanted to break the barrier, and he wanted Daisy to call him by his real name. A lot of these reality shows that they give nicknames to the contestants for some goddamn reason.
He couldn't even get past the fucking nickname because of the fucking barrier.
I think it started on Rock of Love with Bret Michaels.
Yes.
Maybe no. It didn't. I don't know.
It didn't.
Oh,
okay,
Flavor of Love. Flavor of Love started.
Holy Christ! You're all over the place.
Okay.
Steer into the curve. Steer into it. Straighten out. And go.
Okay. So what happened was she like I said, my pick was 12 Pack, and unfortunately I think you may have some
I have some startling news for 12 Pack fans. with this audio clip provided by Frank. Frank doing some audio production for the show. Gotta say.
When Daisy calls London up, I really couldn't hear what they were saying, but I noticed she sends him back to the limo with Ricky, and I know he's in the final two. It's between me and Flex right now.
I feel like only one of you right now is ready to move forward with me in this relationship. Dave, please come here.
Oh, no. Say it isn't so.
You have a guard up. I don't have time right now to break that guard down, you know what I'm saying?
If you want to send me home, go ahead.
You're a wonderful person. I just don't think that I can pick you right now.
That's right.
Bitch!
Someone
you fucking
home,
bitch! How dare you!
My Alicia's gonna say goodbye.
I know she wants to make this a good goodbye, but you know what? I didn't come here for any goodbye, so it's not gonna be good.
Oh, you didn't come here for any goodbye,
you know,
so it's not gonna be good.
A lot of people were wondering what the background noise. They were in an airport, actually, and that was, I guess, the background noise, the wind and whatnot. But
I always knew that about him. He had a guard up. He had a guard.
You know,
he had an emotional blockage.
That's false. He did not have a guard up. He was totally the opposite, because that's why he wanted Daisy to call him by his name, Dave.
Wow.
He was bringing his guard down.
Frank, you sound like the chubby, unattractive girl that wants the hot guy and tries to console him after the hot guy's been dumped by the hot chick. That's what you're doing right now. You're trying to build him back up so you can move in for the kill.
You know what? This Daisy is a you know what? She's a confused fuck. I was a fan of hers at one time. She used to be better looking. She's a deformed anomaly at this point.
I want to point out before you continue, Shell is pointing out that that you are the Molly Ringwald in 12 Pack's life. Just trying to comfort him, trying to get him through his ails.
Okay, but listen. Poor Dave is left out in the dust. He's left on the goddamn tarmac. I think you have some audio of him.
I do. Very sensitive man. I mean, emotional guard. Emotional guard. Please, would this have happened? He's sobbing. He's fucking.
I'm stuck in an empty parking lot by myself. I don't even care. I should never told the girl that I honestly cared about. I should never told her that I was falling for her, because every time I ever tell a girl that, this is what happens to me. I get left with nothing every time. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever be able to tell anybody again that I love them or I'm falling in love with them.
The fucking plane cuts him off.
The producers had the goddamn nerve to let the fucking...
And in the video clip, the producers left in the plane noise to cut off his most sensitive moments, and then they cut to Daisy just having a blast with
Daisy
Flex.
And Flex pretty much humping each other right in
just
front of him.
Just having a fucking blast.
I feel awful for Dave. I'm sick to my stomach over this.
Now, Frank, you said that you predicted that you thought that he would win.
I was almost 100% positive that this guy was going to win.
And Barb, you had predicted that Big Rig would have won.
Big Rig, yes.
Big Rig was out in the second
round.
So
it looks like two of the three predictions are wrong. Mine being correct, and I have proof. I have proof that my prediction is the correct one right here. My prediction is 12 Pack's going to be in the finals. He's going to lose,
and
he will get his own show. Thank you.
Wow. Is that a prediction?
Wow.
And it'll be 12 Pack of Love.
Heard it here first.
You did hear it here first.
I do agree with you. He will be probably getting his own show, no doubt about it.
Because listen, here's the whole thing with 12 Pack. When he left I Love New York, he's like, nah, fuck this bitch. I'm just going to go back to Bergen County and fuck my girlfriend and blah, blah, blah. He's crying on a fucking tarmac after this. Please.
He's in the parking lot.
Yeah. He's on a runway. I'm over here in the parking lot waiting to get in. I don't know where the line is. I'm just here crying my heart out. She wants to say goodbye, but it ain't going to be good. Frank, you have an affinity for this man.
I don't have an affinity, but he reminds me of a young John Travolta.
But now Frank, how far do you think you've gone with this affinity? You've defended him on the show.
Yes.
You've selected him as the winner of a plastic troll with short arms affection.
Yes.
Did you pursue this any further?
I did.
What did you do?
I tried to pursue it further. I would love to actually talk to this individual and get some feedback on the background of this show, that to the point where I actually searched him out via Facebook.
Oh, so you added him as your friend?
I did not.
Why not?
Because when I saw his photo, it was of him shirtless, and I would, I felt like too much of a homo to request the friendship of some guy who is shirtless.
That brings up the question right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it gay?
Is it gay to seek out the friendships of somebody and add them despite the fact that they are a nude man? For example, a European with a picture from his vacation where he's wearing the man panties, the man water underwear. Is it gay? Barb, what do you say to this?
Yes. A resounding yes.
So when somebody goes to your profile and they see your friends come up, maybe they see like your friend from college, a coworker, and then they see the nude man in fucking in low-rise underwear flexing his abdomen. Frank, you didn't want that to happen to you.
No, I could not... I was unable to click to request his friendship and receive a photo of him topless with no shirt on.
And what's worse is it says on your wall, it would say, Frank has just recently become a fan of 12-pack. And then you click on 12-pack, and it's like this dude in his underwear with water drizzling down him, and he's like maybe tweaking his nipple or something.
Yeah.
Writing on something or engaged in construction. Just some fucking really gay scenario that you're now a fan of, but right. You lucked out.
It wasn't even a fan page. It was actually just to request him himself as a person.
Well, I think that might be a little more gay.
Exactly.
Like you didn't even go to the public fan page. You tried to establish a personal relationship with this man.
Well,
based on the fact that you think he resembles a young John Travolta.
I think he does.
That was what drew you to him, and he had a bruised heart, and you were just what he needed to mend it.
What happened is, when he's standing on that tarmac, he makes this Cro-Magnon face. He's got this big jaw and this big gorilla type of profile. Do you notice this, Barb, at all?
Well, yes, but he was hurt. You know, he was upset.
Can you stop saying
the long-standing fucking camera angle?
Yeah. Can you stop saying Cro-Magnon, please? Please stop saying Cro-Magnon.
What is it?
It's Cro-Magnon.
Oh, Cro-Magnon.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we could just finish up this Daisy of Love.
Naturally, it is a show where there were two hosts on the show. There was a love advisor, I guess. Frank, do you want to clarify a little more?
Yeah, what we have here is I guess she is too stupid to do it on her own.
Yes.
She has somebody called Ricky Rackman. Ricky Rackman had his own show on MTV in the late 80s called Heavy Metal something or other. So now he
wow, informative.
Now he does VH1 TV shows where he's the host or the co-host or whatever. So Ricky Rackman, before she picks who she wants to choose as the winner, Ricky Rackman goes into her bedroom and gives her some wonderful piece of advice.
Sage advice from Ricky Rackman.
I'm really happy to see Ricky because I severely need to talk to him.
Well, talk to me.
I have an array of emotions running through me right now.
Love doesn't come without risk.
Wow.
Why do you think
love doesn't come without risk?
Why do you think that?
I think that London is the guy you've dated in the past. Oh. And Flex is something different.
Ricky is telling me something that I maybe don't want to hear, but he might have a valid point.
You know what I
say? Yeah, he might have a valid point. That's
now,
right. That
now.
This is Love Oracle Ricky Rackman just laying it down, telling her how
Rick
it is.
Ricky told her he couldn't have been any more blunt to tell her who to pick. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Any more blunt? Ricky Rackman was so apropos in what he was saying.
He said basically this guy is a loser. Steve the LARPer, you shouldn't date him. I don't know why he's back on the show, but he is. Steve the LARPer isn't right for you. You're gonna just you don't enjoy his company. So why would you ever go with him? And then she finishes that wonderful, just a riveting session of receiving advice with, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just want...
I want to crumble the ball, you know,
He's the one that brought London back, remember? I mean, we didn't talk about that, but he was gone. London left on his own, and Ricky brought him back because London sent him emails.
London left. This guy, London, was such a loser. He left. He actually left the show.
Wow.
And came back. And I think we wrap it up with the conclusion.
Well, this is the stunning conclusion. I mean, you would think you'd be a dummy to vote one way, and you think it's a slam dunk, but they get you.
Two really awesome guys that I'm not gonna lie, I love a lot. Flex. When I first met you, all I thought that you were was a hot body, but you have showed me so much more.
Wow.
You are truly everything that is right for me.
Great.
Slam dunk.
All right. Like, I'm just, it just hits me like I'm going home.
That's Steve LaLarper in the background, very worried.
I almost kicked your ass out the first night you were drunk in the closet. But
Steve LaLarper drunk in the closet.
I already had this weird, crazy, strong attraction to you. And then it broke my heart.
Oh my god!
And then I totally didn't expect it. You showed up.
Wow, he's a hero.
I have a really hard time explaining why I'm drawn to you. But I think the biggest reason is because I see a lot of myself in you.
Yeah, she
sees
says,
London, I have immediate attraction with you, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, God, the recaps with this shit. Let me just say something. She sees a lot of herself in him, the guy that has a fucking hair like my goddamn dog on top of his head. Fucking not mohawk.
He wears eyeliner, too.
Yeah, and he wears eyeliner. And he looks exactly like Steve LaLarper. I can't express that to you. Go to GameStationStore.com. Just watch the cameras. Eventually, you'll see London just stocking shelves. I don't know. Jesus Christ. So here we go to the stunning conclusion.
And I'm just sitting there like, okay, let him go.
And the time has come for me to make a choice. Flex, you are what I need. But what I want is London.
Oh my god!
What is this? Yeah. You are what I need! You are everything that is right for me, but she doesn't pick that person who she says this to! She picks London!
What's the deal with this? Barb.
She has. Listen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Housewife Frank. Please explain. Please explain this woman.
The problem with Daisy is she is looking for that bad boy rocker who she has had numerous times in the past.
Yeah.
She cannot get past that attraction to the bad boy with the eyeliner on.
You know, I hope it breaks up so they can have a season two so she can find the right guy.
I am so disappointed in this, Daisy.
Aren't you fucking disenchanted with this whole formula?
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of Daisy. I'm sick of everything she has to do. She said, like I said, everything that is right for me, she referred to as Flex. You are what I need to Flex, but she takes London.
I don't understand it, Frank.
I give it 2 weeks.
Frank, let me...
Love doesn't make sense.
Frank.
It doesn't! Crazy. And love takes risks!
I'm completely irritated by this, Frank, but for different reasons than you. I'm irritated because it's the same fucking show over and over again with less and less famous people. The people get less famous and less good looking as you fucking go down. I mean, not that Flavor of Love was a fucking casting call to the greatest looking women in the world, but at least it was interesting. This is the same fucking shit. It's the same show over and over again, and they get more mileage out of fucking 12 pack. He's been on 17 fucking shows on VH1 already at this point, and he's gonna get his own. Because he pretends to cry as a fucking plane is taking off. The guy does bar gigs with another fucking homosexual Latino man in fucking Hudson County. The guy fucking says, "Yo, I'm from VH1. I'm 12 pack, and this is heat. We're the party boys." And he's a fucking DJ. Yeah,
actually, he's an investment banker, dude.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to fucking take all my money out of all my funds and invest it with 12-pack. Bro, let me tell you something. Okay? I want you to get out of mutual funds, get out of the stocks, fuck dividends, put it all in Muscle Milk. Just take all your money and buy canisters of Muscle Milk, bro. You have no idea how valuable that is. You have no idea. The worst. The fucking worst. Yo, buy some Tiger Balm and some Muscle Milk. And then what you do is you only open one of the Tiger Balms and rub it on your ace. The worst.
You know, this show might not have ended the way we wanted.
Sure.
But we always have real chance at love, too.
No, we don't.
do
we really?
Yes, we really do.
Oh, my God. Are you fucking serious?
Yes.
Nobody wants to see the fucking hip-hop ranchers find love. Nobody cares about Real and Chance. They fucking breed horses, for fuck's sake.
Real Chance at Love 2, coming soon.
Oh, my God. Frank, are you going to watch that one with bated breath?
No. I'm not familiar with that one. However, there's another one with one of the girls from Rock of Love. Somebody about marrying a millionaire or something like that. Whatever.
Megan.
Yeah, this is the one that was on Beauty and the Geek. Was on Blind Date. Was basically on every reality show there ever was. And she had a decent set of breasts, but she was also
great
on the
body.
Fucking the I Love Money thing and all that. It's a bunch of shit. Absolute bunch of shit. So Barb, what your take on Daisy of Love as a whole? Success, failure, bore fest, what was it?
I think it was a success. I think Daisy and London will live happily together forever and have plenty of children, white trash children.
Have any of them worked? Have any of these shows worked?
No. I don't think one of them.
Yeah.
Not one.
Ugh. Just a fucking mess. Just an absolute fucking mess and a nightmare. This whole thing. And people like Frank being conned into believing that the show and the results and the love that they supposedly find is real.
Frank, do you believe that? You think the love is real, right?
Frank? Yeah, he's having some troubles.
Oh, good.
But the thing is, Barb, I don't know. You didn't like London?
No, I was really pulling for Big Rig. I mean, yeah. I was kind of pulling for 12-pack at the end just because he's from Jersey. As you know, I was all for Weasel winning, but he went out the first.
Well, episode. Weasel was a gentleman from New Jersey, so, I mean, why not root for the local boy? But, Frank, are you there?
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty. No,
that's okay. We were just kind of trying to remember the better days of Daisy of Love with Weasel. You remember him? He was the Jersey boy who basically didn't change his clothes ever.
Frank with hair.
Yeah, he was you with hair. I do have to point out that Big Brown Saves the Day in the chat room did, in fact, pick London from day one.
Well, there you go.
London from day one. And
congratulations.
Yeah, that's two people. Steve the LARPer and Big Brown Saves the Day. They picked London. Only because Steve wanted to root for himself. Frank, did you have any other words on this?
I'm just very disappointed in the whole situation. You know, Daisy, she had the chance to change her life, do something different, take a step in the right direction, and she did nothing but walk backwards, blindfolded.
She did it to herself. She did it to herself, Frank. I don't.
Well, hopefully, 12-pack can take himself away from DJing. At fucking Joey Surf Club for a couple weeks and get his own show and maybe find real love.
He's an investment banker, Barb. Put your future in him. Fuck Prudential, Bank of America, all of them by the wayside.
I wanted to keep Barb on the line if we could, because just to talk.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. We had on Friday night, a whole bunch of people got together.
Big gig for Heroes yes. Talk. This was the Vagabond Souls that we've been plugging for a few weeks. It was this Friday, right? I was unable to make it.
This Friday.
This past Friday. It's not happening again.
This past Friday.
Don't fucking plug it for a Friday. That's not. There's going to be an empty fucking bar this Friday.
Right. I just want to say it was a killer show. They were awesome. Great musicians, great music.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun meeting everybody there, and had a good time.
Now, Barb, you were the MC of the event, right, Barb?
Yes, I was, yes.
So what did that exactly entail?
Well, it entailed, you know, thanking all the presenters, one of them being HarrisTalk.com, and I shouted out, you know, Best in Show, DJ New Style Show, and said hi to Frank.
And you basically gave a nice fuck you to the What Show, because you only mentioned Best in Show and DJ New Style.
Really? I didn't?
I don't know. I'm hearing things. I'm hearing lots of complaints from Sheepy. FM Jeff. They want to sever ties, basically.
All right, I'll have to.
Oh no! Wait, I'm sorry. You did say it. I'm completely making this up, just to make you feel bad.
Fucker.
But I understand part of your act was wearing shiny shoes.
I did wear platform Dorothy glitter shoes. That was the highlight of my night.
There you go. And Frank, you had a blast. Obviously, I heard a full report of what you've done.
I didn't really do much. I had free drinks. What happened was FM Jeff, who a few months ago took me underneath his wing and taught me how to drink like a real man. He asked me what I want, and I was too embarrassed that I had to whisper to him my drink order so that he could give it to the bartender.
So you handed him, you whispered to another man, get me a drink.
Well, I whispered to FM Jeff. Because I was too embarrassed to ask for a fuzzy navel, so I whispered it to Jeff, and then
so
he ordered it.
So you actually said the words fuzzy navel to our caller who's on the show right now, FM Jeff. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
How are you doing?
Is this Sloth or Jeff? Are you eating right now?
No, I was lighting a cigarette. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Jeff is on The What Show, Friday nights, Heroes Talk, 9:30 to 12:30. Check him out. Very good. Jeff, So Frank actually whispered the words fuzzy navel into your ear.
Here's the thing. Here's the impression I get when I hang out with Frank. If you've ever seen the movie starring Jet Li where he plays a dog all his life and then one day he's free and he gets to interact with real people, that's kind of like what Frank is like. It's like the man has zero social skills whatsoever. He stands there in this awful loose gray sweater, talking to nobody.
Oh my god!
Just observing with his eyes. I take him to the bar. He whispers to the lady under his breath, "Fuzzy navel."
I was too embarrassed.
Bartender. In a look of sheer surprise, says, "Really?"
She didn't believe him. She thought it was a fucking joke.
No, she didn't. She said, "Really?"
He said, "Really?"
Oh my god!
And I wanted to continue by saying, "Oh, he's just getting one for his wife," but I just wanted to let you sit there and experience that shame.
Now, Frank, did you feel embarrassed when the bartender was really? Not,
I was very
just
embarrassed.
You were joking.
I gotta be honest with you. The help there, the workers there, they weren't the friendliest of people, especially this one waitress. So when I first said, you know, so you don't make fun of a patron and what they're ordering. It's not good business.
I think she has every right because you look like you just changed your oil and you're ordering a fucking grandma drink.
It was the equivalent of you going into a lingerie store and then trying on like a bustier, walking up to the cashier and saying, "Does this look good on me?" Like that is the same face she had on, and then she mixed the drink, and then instead of sipping it as one would do a cocktail of that homosexual nature, he guzzled the whole thing like a shot in less than 3 seconds.
Wait, hold on, Jeff. I've seen this before, Frank. Did you truly do it like a shot, or did you sip it like a deer would, and then do it?
No, you see, you guys make fun of me for drinking women's drinks, but I take them as shots. I treat them as shots. I took a fuzzy
so
navel shot.
Get a shot then.
Yeah, it's not...
exactly. I could do the same thing to a glass of lemonade, Frank. It doesn't make me a man.
Did you swallow the ice cubes too? I mean, did you just hand her an empty glass?
No, but I'm trying to
fucking bottomless pit.
What I'm doing is I'm compensating for the fact that you people say I drink feminine drinks. So I'm compensating that by drinking it like a man and drinking it real quick and real hard.
So drink a man's fucking drink.
Yeah, why don't you graduate to that? I mean, that's like being the home run king of first grade wiffle ball at your age.
Well, the last drink
you're
ordered...
You're knocking him out of the 20-foot park, Frank. It's amazing.
The last, drink, The last drink I ordered was pretty much a man's drink. It's a cranberry and vodka. Now, you can't say that's a woman's drink.
It's not a man's drink. It's like, I'm just going to relax. I need something with vitamins in it because I've destroyed my body. So let me try and fix my urinary tract and maybe get a vitamin in my system to maybe feel better. That's what it's for. It's not to look like fucking Clint Eastwood riding into town. It's not a manly drink. It's got berries in it.
But then he slams the cup down on the table like he's Randy Moss spiking a football.
That's right. Right. I'm compensating for it.
Oh my god.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't. And Jeff, your wife Missy was just stunned at the sight of this.
It's like compensating for fucking a guy's dick by eating a steak rare.
You know, Jeff's sitting outside there leaning on the fucking FedEx truck with his goddamn clove cigarettes thinking who the fuck he is. That's why let me put it out there. I give you nothing but praise, you son of a bitch, and you come on here and mock me.
You were in the fucking front row and fell asleep. I saw you fucking fall asleep while the band was on.
Frank, why don't you just get...
Frank was nodding off.
Wait a minute, he fell asleep?
He couldn't keep his head straight. You had two drinks.
Now, let me say something. I've seen at least one clip of the performance. Dom is a fucking animal in a drum set. The music is loud. It's pumping. It's fucking energetic. How can you fucking fall asleep, Frank?
It was a long drive to New York City.
It was past his bedtime, obviously.
He doesn't go to bed. He doesn't have a bedtime. He fucking sits in a chair. Always.
Well, the chair felt like home. But listen.
You know, I say this with love, right?
I know. I love you, man.
What?
I don't.
What did you say, Frank?
Excuse me?
What did you say to Jeff?
Nothing. But I had one of Jeff's... You guys also witnessed for the first time of me inhaling a cigarette. Jeffrey gave me one of his clove cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
And I took a clove cigarette, and I inhaled for the... I don't even know how to inhale a cigarette, as I've never done so. So I asked them, how do you inhale a clove... Now, mind you, I'm 39 years old.
Yes.
How do you inhale a cigarette? And I did it, and I it didn't wasn't pleasant moment.
Well, I'll tell you, Frank, it's probably not the best way going about doing it if you're going to react like a man with a black lung.
I mean, Jeff, are you aware that he had been posturing and pretend, and he kept a pack of cigarettes by his desk so he could pretend to smoke on camera?
For two years, I have been practicing my mannerisms. And
your what?
My mannerisms and techniques for smoking.
The fuck is a mannerism?
A mannerism. I've been practicing the way I hold the cigarette.
And then Jeff, he took one drag off the cigarette and suffered a brain mannerism. It was very tragic. I just fucking started making fun of you.
You fucked up yourself, asshole.
Those motherfucker. Cigarettes really grow to your head.
So you smoked, you drank, you napped. Frank, did you have any other fucking? Did you have anything basically that left you with any dignity?
He also hobnobbed.
Oh really? From what I understand,
son of a bitch.
From what I understand, there were some celebrities there.
Here we go.
Now wait, Jeff, who did he hobnob with?
Frank, I don't say this with love. I say this with disgust. Fez Watley of the Ron and Fez show.
Okay, so he hobnobbed
on the scene.
Hobnobbed with Fez,
and,
who he knows.
Everyone, I'm sorry, go ahead.
He hobnobbed with Fez a bit, who, you know, Frank has met several times.
Yeah. And, you know, Fez is going from person to person, shaking hands. And there is Frank with his arm outstretched and hand ready to shake. Fez walks right by him.
Oh, man.
That's a fucking lie. That is a fucking lie.
No, I don't think so, Frank.
Yeah. Feeling the sham. He walked up to Fez, patted him on the shoulder, and said, "Hey, Fez, I'm the germ freak from the DJ New Style show."
Wow. What a fucking gaffe.
I'm coming in next week. And Fez said to the
We're not,
oh,
by the way.
That's nice.
Oh, and he just said, "That's nice," and walked away. So obviously you're pretty embarrassed. You didn't dare try it again.
No, FM Jeff is totally misconstruing this and twisting it around. Now, mind you, this is the guy, FM Jeff, who pretended like he had a love something with Ronnie Bennington. It was a total failure.
Well, I'll
tell
you, every time I'm
back to
Fiji, he knows exactly who I am.
Yeah, but not in a good way. Not in a good way.
Frank, why did you feel compelled to outstretch your hand and shake this man's hand?
I felt sorry for him. He looked very sad that night, and I felt sorry for him, so I wanted to shake his hand.
No, that's the perfect way to cheer somebody up. A Vermont teddy bear or a handshake from a guy wearing a fucking sweatshirt with a fuzzy navel driplets on his fucking lips. That's the best way to lift somebody's spirits. Jesus Christ.
Now, Frank, I realize, like, the environment didn't suit formal attire, but you were outdressed by Spandy Men.
I had fucking jeans and shoes on. What the fuck you want me to have on? Me and DH were dressed almost the same. We had the same outfits on.
Wait, did Spandy Man have a singlet that was fashioned after a penguin so he could be more formal? How do you get outdressed by a guy?
And his ratty jeans.
How do you get outdressed by fucking Spandy Man?
Jeff said, look at me, I have a nice slimming outfit on. No guy talks like that.
Frank
Nobody.
Had fucking Catholic school regulation shoes on.
I don't know, Frank.
I had my suede shoes on that I've had since the 8th grade.
Not suede.
They're your dress shoe.
The worst part happened at the end of the night. Alex had to go to sleep because I guess he was feeling tired. And, of course, Barb has to go with him. And there's Germ deciding whether or not it's worth risking the cab ride, and God knows what happens in those vehicles, to stay out a little later with his buddies.
I couldn't risk it because I wasn't sure if I would remember where I was staying at, and I didn't want to get lost in
the city. So that was the fear. It wasn't that the fact that people have sex in the back of those cabs or they jerk off.
I've been in cabs, as you know.
Yeah, you have. But never alone.
No,
never.
And it was already 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning, and it was time to
so wait,
call it.
Frank, your real fear was getting lost?
I didn't want to get lost in the city.
The last time I was afraid of being lost is when I was in a large department store when I was 4, and I saw a guy with the same shirt on as my dad, and I thought that was him, and it was frightening when I was 4. You're fucking 40 years old.
You know what it was? Because what happens is then when you go to the building, you got to ring the bell, and what if they were sleeping? Then it would have been a lot of commotion. I says, fuck it, I'll just go.
Frank, you're being driven by a professional driver who knows every street in the city.
Not just that city. He
possibly get lost.
He knows every dirt path in Nairobi as well. He's very well versed with travel and navigation and all these things. Holy shit, Frank! You're a mess.
Be like a lack of desire to embrace the new.
Yeah,
you're just figuring that out now.
Yeah, I mean, we've known Frank how long? I mean, we knew that on the first day when we were talking about musical influences, and he kept mentioning fucking different members of Bon Jovi.
But I drove.
He's like, you know, well, Tico Torres has his moments, but every now and then I like to listen to the Bon Jovi parts of the records.
I drove into the city, and we got a good spot in front of the building.
Okay.
Some stuff happened.
Wait, what happened? You parked.
Well, first of all, Barb said she was going to give me a compliment. She was going to compliment me on my driving in the city. Now, please don't go back on your compliment.
Terrible driver. Oh, my God.
What? You're a fucking liar. You're a goddamn liar.
Oh, my God. You know those little things that you hold on to, the little things that you brace yourself on the entire time?
Yeah, the worthless handle on the door.
Of course. You know what?
Both hands clenched. The thing is, though,
cups everywhere.
Yeah, it's got like splashed lattes from like 2007 on them, so you gotta watch it. He doesn't really scrub his car down, but you'll hold on to it when he makes these fucking blind turns because he has a thought. You'll have a thought like, you know what, if flannels are the better fabric, you just fucking make a turn and don't even look, and then you slam on the brakes. It's a nightmare driving with you.
No, exactly what it was like.
That's a lie. She's lying. She said numerous times, as did her boyfriend.
Yeah, well, okay, so you're not going to get the compliment. Frank, you mentioned you parked and something happened.
We parked in front of the building, but unfortunately, the next morning, I awake to a pink slip on my windshield. Unfortunately, I was not aware that they have something called street cleaning there, and you have to move your car to the other side of the road.
I believe, Frank, I believe right now it is time for the airing of the grievances. Please continue, Frank.
First of all, there was nothing. Listen, I'm from New Jersey. There was nothing that said you had to move your car to the other side of the road because of street cleaning. There was no signs of any nature whatsoever. So I get a ticket. I get a ticket, $65 ticket, okay?
Yeah.
So I took the ticket in the morning, and I put it in my car, and it didn't really bother me so bad because it was pretty much, I say $65 pretty much would have cost if I would have put it in a parking garage, so really it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So then we go walking around for getting some breakfast or whatever. We come back, and there's another goddamn ticket on my fucking windshield. This time, I didn't put any money in what they have as this meter type of situation. They don't have individual meters, but they have one meter that you got to put money in, and I didn't put it in. So I got two tickets within the course of 2 hours.
I'm going to put a picture of him finding the ticket in the HeroesTalk.com chat room. Here,
nice. Nice. Go to HeroesTalk.com. I'm sure somebody will put that on the forum, RadioBronzeFans.com. So Frank, you didn't abide by the signs. Just read the signs next time.
I guess so.
You guess so.
There was no sign about the alternate parking. There was no sign whatsoever.
So you didn't know. I mean, did you see any other cars?
There was no sign. I parked there overnight.
So what do you think people should do, Frank? What's your big resolution for this?
I'm going to go to court.
You're going to go to court.
You won't be able to get there. You'll get a ticket parking in the parking lot of the courthouse.
So you're going to take this to court. That's awesome. Fantastic. Well thought out. Well planned. I don't know, Frank.
I did my best.
So you had a hell of a weekend. Barb, I heard you did a great job. You made fun of Frank's age, which was good.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful for HeresTalk.com, too.
And Jeff, and also, by the way, thank you for doing that. That's really, really fucking what we're looking for. We're looking to market, and nobody's doing this like you. So thank you very much, Barb. Appreciate that. Oh. Whoa!
Anyway. Oh, by the way, she does an impression of Joey Lawrence.
No, I do not. It's my own. Shut the fuck up.
Well, I've heard this one.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Have you ever heard of the concept Dress to Impress? What circumstances do you feel would be appropriate to dress to impress?
Who are you directing this question to?
To you. He said, Frank, can I ask you a question? Open your fucking ears.
Jeff, who the fuck are you? You what the fuck did you have on? You aren't that fucking impressive. I had jeans on. Pristine was in shorts, for Christ's sake. You didn't make fun of him. No. Give me a fucking break.
He looked great on Friday.
He didn't have a
moo-moo
on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Frank, I'm hearing constantly that they're just nothing but complaints with your attire. People think that you just fucking rolled out of bed and showed up. You look like you shit and kick it out of bed, someone said to me.
I'm just saying it's a little disrespectful to the vagabond souls to come like he just came from some high-powered business meeting in your basement.
I mean, personally, I think you should go to myspace.com/thevagabondsouls and maybe post an apology.
I also got a couple other things happened. While we were at the apartment where I was staying at, I ordered some food, and I got a little flustered because the guy was standing right there, and I usually – see, whenever we get food delivered, Don always takes care of that for me.
Yeah.
I never meet the person because I don't have the wherewithal to actually meet the person handing me the food.
Okay.
So Donna always takes care of it. Like if the bell rings, says Donna, he's here. So I had to actually pay this guy, and I got flustered, and I ended up giving the guy like a $6 tip for a cheesesteak sandwich, and that's not something I usually do.
Wow.
And then he snored all night.
Fantastic. I suggest maybe putting tape over his mouth and nose.
Snoring? That's horrible.
Yes.
I'm a snorer too, okay? So I can't complain. I snore. I have a gigantic fucking snooter. I can't fucking control it.
Oh.
I can't control it.
You know, they make those things you put over your nose.
I'm not going to fucking put equipment on to sleep. I don't need to suit up to go to bed. I want to basically fall down pretty much wherever I am and then wake up later. I don't need to fucking put the tape across the bridge of your nose, get the breathers, the fucking thing. No, you know what? Deal with my fucking snoring. One day I'm probably going to die from it, and then you'll have relief. That's how it's going to work out. Snoring is something I don't have to be bothered by, so I don't care.
Frank needs a strip for his asshole,
you know. Other people in the room, you know.
Frank needs a breathe right strip for his asshole. Is that what you just said, Barb?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I appreciate the update. Thank you for the Daisy of Love insight, Barb. I look forward to discussions about Real Chance at Love Part 2. I'm sorry it didn't work out for those boys. And Jeff, thank you very much. TheWhatShow.com, Friday nights, 9:30 to 12:30.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
HearUsTalk.com. Thank you. Frank, I had a good time there. Oh, I wasn't there. I was at a wedding, Frank. Sorry. I couldn't attend.
A Friday night wedding?
Yeah, I was at a Friday night wedding. I had to take off of work to go. Wasn't bad. I'll talk about that after the break. But Frank, before that, I'd like to point something out. We've got some award-winning software for you to try. Are you aware of this, Frank?
No.
Fantastic. That's really good. That's gonna really sit well. You fucking don't.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah. You're only kidding. Fantastic. Yeah.
Good.
Buy time on this fucking thing. One person will know. The other one, no clue. Fucking fan goddamn tastic.
I know where you're going with this.
Where am I going with it, Frank?
ICU.
No, it's called ICU2 Video Chat. Now, Frank may not be too privy with it, but that's okay because he doesn't really know how to use computers. But if you do, yeah, we know there's a lot of video chat services out there, but ICU2's been around longer than any of them. All of them. Just download ICU2 on your Windows PC, and in seconds you'll be face-to-face with the people that are using it and have been using it for years from all over the world. It's free to try. Go to ICU2.com and click download. That's ICU, then the number 2. I was going to say letter 2 because I'm a fucking idiot. It's ICU2 Video Chat. The 2009 People's Choice Award winner for internet communication. ICU2.com. We'll be right back with the DJ New Style Show. Thank you very much.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
I like your flow.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. During the summer, the best way for you to wind down from a long day at the beach, the park, the PlayStation, or wherever it is you people with jobs go, is with your friends at Hear Us Talk. Join us every Tuesday night for the DJ New Style Show, live from 9 to 11. Thursday nights, catch Best in Show Radio, live from 8 to 11. And usher in your weekend with The What Show, Friday nights at 9:30, all times Eastern. Plus, on Wednesday nights, dim the lights and get your popcorn ready for 100K Presents. And remember some older moments on Monday nights with the Best in Show Radio Journey to the Past. All of this and more can be found at HearUsTalk.com and the Hear Us Talk Radio Room in Powtalk. And don't forget to check out our forums at RadioBronzeFans.com and get your hands on all the latest merchandise at HearUsTalk.Spreadshirt.com. All of this is brought to you by the Hear Us Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hello, fans of the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode. As a token of gratitude, I've decided to give to you something that I don't think Frank wanted you to hear. As you and I both know, Frank is a fan of the prank phone call. He's never done them until now. So behold, Frank's obviously excellent attempt at a prank phone call.
Thank you for calling the Grove Hotel. This is Braden. How can I help you?
Yeah, Braden, how you doing? My name is Ed McGrath. I have to come to Boise to take for a conference that I was wanting to stay at your hotel. And I just had a quick question. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay. I had a friend who had stayed there, and he said that there's a sign that in the closet that the towels are reused, Are the towels reused or?
Oh no, there's. Well, I mean, we wash them.
No, I know, but he said there's a sign that says to use your towels, reuse your towels twice or something. I just want to make sure that the towels aren't. I will not be utilizing somebody's dirty towel.
No, what the only thing it is just because we're with Summit Resorts, it's like there's a green movement, like everywhere else, and they're just encouraging guests to use their towels that were in the room when they checked in, like twice before we send them back down to you.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it wouldn't be like. I wouldn't have to fear. I'm only saying this because I'm a little bit nervous. I wouldn't have to worry about using somebody's towel that may have been soiled or things of that nature.
No, it'd be the towel that was in the room when you.
Okay, so wouldn't it be like another person's towel? In other words, the maid wouldn't take a reused towel and bring it into another room.
Correct.
Oh, okay, because that could be a little dangerous. Listen, I want to thank you for your time and have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
I hate to say this. I'm disappointed. How do you wash the towels? Can you tell me about the soap you use? You didn't even mention bodily fluids.
I had to cut it short. I had something. I had to cut it short. Why didn't you guys type this shit in the room as I was talking? You know what? You can all go fuck you. The guy was too nice. I couldn't do it. I need somebody foreign to answer, and I feel less, whatever. You know what? You can all go fuck yourselves, all right? I'll sit here, and I'll be like Grievo, and I'll sit here, and not say anything, all right?
Well, wasn't that something? It sure was. So tune in next time as Frank decides to call a bakery and ask how their bread is. Then hang up after thanking the man. This has been Germ Freak Pranks on the DJ New Style Show.
DJ New Style Show. DJ New Style Show is back, bitches.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk, that's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Go to djnewstyleshow.com. Download episodes. Subscribe. Show clips. Lots of stuff. Pretty much everything we've ever done. Download it there. Right, Frank? What do you say?
Absolutely.
And of course, everything we've ever done is there. You should already have it. I don't know why you don't. You fuck. Why don't you download it? Do it. Everybody's doing it. Yeah. So all I'm saying to you, Frank, is it sounds like you had a good time this weekend. I didn't get to go. I wanted to go, but I was...
You never go to anything, do you?
I do. I do occasionally when I can make it. You see, as I've explained before...
You always seem to have a wedding or something that comes up.
That's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
It always is the way.
Yeah.
Oh, is this a little snap at me right now?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you know...
It sounds a little bit snappy coming from you. I just want to make sure that you're not being snappy towards me.
No, whatever. Go ahead. Sure. I mean, God forbid Ken makes a fucking appearance somewhere.
I have. I've made a few. I just can't go to every fucking one. There's a lot of them. And Frank, what are the 2 days that most of them happen?
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. pretty busy days.
Absolutely.
For me, at least. Pretty busy days. That's all I'm going
to say. So how was the wedding on Friday?
It was good. Standard wedding, I would say.
Was it great?
I said it was good.
Okay.
There was, you know, pretty good food. But the one thing that I noticed... Frank, during the cocktail hour, you're a big fan of the cocktail hour. We've already established that. You have your procedures for doing this. I had mine as well, but I stepped it up a little bit. Whenever I noticed that someone would come around with a tray, you know the trays that they bring of the snacks?
Yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking
about. Okay. See, okay. You're gonna be snippy with me, Frank? Is that what's gonna happen?
I don't ask me. You always bitch at me for asking stupid questions. Of course I know what the fucking trays are that they bring around.
Today, during fucking prep, you literally asked me if I've ever seen 12-pack.
Yes.
And you know I fucking watched the show. What kind of fucking shit is that?
I didn't know you watched it.
I'm setting a fucking a scene.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
You understand?
I know we're speaking trays.
We're speaking fucking words to people that are listening at their fucking shit jobs, their good jobs, the fucking gym, wherever the fuck they are that they've chosen to listen to us. I'm trying to paint a fucking picture in their head.
Fuckface. I'm aware of the people with trays of the hors d'oeuvres walking around. I can vision that in my head.
But don't get fucking snippy, okay?
Don't get fucking snippy with me, motherfucker.
I'm snippy. Right now I'm snipping, Frank. What are you going to do? Snippy snapper snoop. Snippy snapper. What are you going to do, Frankie?
Just continue it.
Yeah. So they come around with the trays. Are you aware of this? And occasionally, you just be something like, you know, don't even bother coming to my table ever again. You want to tell them never, don't ever come here again. Literally, there's going to be problems if you show up with this fucking this puff of air and spinach. Really, it's an insult if you show up again. But then they'll have really good things, perhaps like bacon wrapped pineapple or the little filet mignon things. You know, they only have like one or two trays of. So Frank, being a little more gutsy, I've decided that. Instead of, you know, just casually taking two of the toothpicks, I've decided to take one, eat it real quick, and go, oh, that's good. Oh, hold on a second. And then just take seven of them right off the tray.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's almost equivalent to my technique for eating cake at these events. Because what I do is when the server brings out that little thin slice of cake, I eat it up so quickly that I put the empty plate back down and say, there's no cake here.
That's true. The deception is there, and the goal of getting as much as you can is there. But it is a little bit different. You have a lightning quick technique of putting that whole slice down your throat so that you can enjoy the second one. I never asked you this. Do you savor that second one, or do you just chug it down hoping to get a third?
A lot of people say, eat it slowly, you enjoy it better. I don't. I enjoy the food better when I throw the whole fucking thing down my throat. I get the full flavor, the full aroma, the full texture when I just shove it down my fucking throat.
See, I would think that you would do that for the first one to get, like, the sensation of having eaten it. And then, you know, you get your second piece that you shouldn't have gotten. Now it's time to just lay back, cut a little square. That's good cake. Enjoy it.
You're absolutely right. The first slice I will just throw down my throat and like an animal. And then the second slice I'll eat with the humans and slice and cut it.
It's all business until you get your real piece. The second one is your real piece. Let's face it.
That's the show piece. The first one is just me to suffice my animalistic problems.
I mean, and that's part of the thing I do with the hors d'oeuvre trays. Now, I don't mean to disrespect Best in Show Chris, who is a part of Best in Show Radio, bestinshowradio.com, Thursday nights, 8 to 11 p.m., hear us talk. He says he loves a spinach puff. I fucking hate a spinach puff. For those of you who don't know, Best in Show Chris has decided meat isn't delicious, and he's completely out of his mind. So yeah. If I have the choice of eating the crab puff or the spinach puff can go fuck themselves. I want the crab puffs.
Since you brought him up, I want to explain something to you. Best in Show Chris makes absolutely no sense. This guy is a staunch vegetarian, does not eat meat, yet he will cook meat for his family. He will sit there with a frying pan and cook up a steak, but he won't eat it.
Yeah.
It's so contradictory.
It is. What's the point? I know he doesn't want to ingest it, you know, but I just don't see it. I just don't see it. You're all in or you're not. Chris, you know there's a part of you that still wants that meat-normous sandwich if they still made it from Burger King. You know there's a part of you that would just kill to go into a bar during happy hour and scoop the chafing dish of wings into a plate and just polish them off and then sneak back for a second plate. You know there's a part of you that exists. You know it. The smell of wings, they can't duplicate that with soy. Am I nuts, Frank?
He's going to be eating Swiss cheese sandwiches for the rest of his fucking life.
It's true, and it doesn't stay dormant. You can shut it up, but you'll never silence it completely, Chris.
I don't know if you remember, a few months ago, the three of us went to a diner.
I do remember.
And we met for some business. And Ken orders a nice, thick, juicy burger. Yes. I order a nice turkey sandwich.
Yes.
Chris is sitting there with a fucking cheese sandwich.
He's eating fucking a plate of garnish. We gave him our little orange wedge and our fucking our crunchy lettuce. That's what we gave him. And he sat there and he loved it. Frank, I think I lost you here, buddy. I don't know.
I'm here.
Oh, you are here. Okay. Yeah. He's eating like a rabbit, and we're enjoying ourselves. We have flesh grease just dripping down our fucking face.
I felt sorry for him. I really felt sorry for him.
I did. I truly did. And you know why I did? This is like looking at a soldier who is made to sit at a desk job. He is a soldier at heart, if being a soldier means enjoying and eating meat. But no, he's been relegated to the desk job, which is eating boring vegetables. Chris, you deserve better. You deserve to be unhealthy and enjoy yourself.
A big night out for him is fucking a plate of French fries. Because he can eat all the grease he wants. He can eat all the fried food.
You got to make sure they're not frying chicken in it.
You know, one day, Chris, somebody's going to put a gun to your head and stuff a pork chop down your throat. Just wait.
That's the big threat. It would be a really horrifying scene to him until he tasted it. And then he would immediately see that he's been wrong. I'm playing this up a lot, but I know that there's a part of him that loves meat.
But let me ask you this. An alcoholic who was sober and dry for a very long time, was forced to consume alcohol, would he then fall off the wagon again?
The minute he heard the crack of the Miller High Life can.
Now, the same thing with Chris. Chris is a vegetarian. As soon as he gets that taste of delicious meatness in his mouth,
meatness?
He's going to fall off the wagon.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Oh. You guys are killing me, because it's not only the meat that I miss that you're talking about. You actually brought up the concept of being an alcoholic and wanting to drink again, and you're hitting all of my points at the same time. By the way, it's Chris from Best in Show Radio.
Yes,
I do miss the meat. I do miss the meat desperately, and I do miss my beer desperately. But you got to understand that there comes a time, or maybe you don't have to understand. I don't know, but I understand that there came a time in life that just didn't seem like it was the right thing to do anymore.
Chris, let me say something to you, and just tell me how it sounds. Dollar drafts. It's tough.
I will say the only thing that comes better than dollar drafts are dollar drafts with 10-cent wings.
Yes, or free complimentary wings. Have some wings with your 75-cent drafts. Come in.
Chris, is it a health issue or a moral issue that you don't eat meat?
My meat eating was a moral issue. My drinking was a health issue.
How many chickens do we need, really, Chris? I mean, that's where I look at it.
You not eating meat is making no difference. It's making no difference in the world. No difference whatsoever.
I guess that theoretically it makes no difference in the world. It makes a difference to me. It makes me feel good to know that I am not contributing to it. And again, I'm not trying to be on a soapbox by any means. It's just, you know, it's just what
but
I do.
But don't you find it hypocritical that you cook meat for your family?
I made a choice for myself. My family didn't make that choice.
But wait a minute,
But nobody's forcing you to cook it.
No, but hold on, Chris. Do you feel any guilt as you put your hands on the uncooked flesh of the animals that you've chosen not to eat for moral reasons?
I'm not thrilled about doing it, but the fact is, if it's to provide a service to my wife and to my child, if they want to have some sort of delicious meaty treat, I'll do what I can to spare. Maybe I like the smell of it because I do someplace deep inside yearn to taste it again.
Hold on, Frank. I just started thinking about lamb chops again and how fucking great they are. And you know what? If you're nice to the people, they'll just give you as many as you want. Listen, I have all these lamb chops and nobody to eat them. And I say, well, it's good that I came here because now I'll
Chris,
eat them all.
Do you remember the last meat meal you ate? Do you remember the last meat meal you ate?
The last meat meal I intentionally ate or the last...
That you intentionally
did
ate?
Did you have like a last supper
exactly.
of your carnivore days?
I actually did, about a week after I decided to go vegetarian, actually went out to a steak bar, or to a steakhouse, excuse me, maybe about a week after I decided I was going to do it, and I got myself a nice porterhouse with my last meal with me.
It was how good was it, really?
Say again?
How good was it?
Oh, it was outstanding. It was absolutely outstanding. It was a terrific treat.
Did you clean the bone?
Nice, the way that it should be.
Did you clean the bone off? Maybe gnaw on the bone a little bit?
Obviously. Do what you can to enjoy every bit of the meat. Like I said, prepared just nice, black and blue, cold and purple in the middle.
So, Chris, what would it take for you to eat meat again? Would it take a monetary incentive?
This Thursday on Best in Show,
if somebody
live
gave you
sacrifice of a cow.
If somebody gave you money to eat meat, would you do it?
I can't imagine if there's anything that's going to entice me to do it. I can't imagine. It's just where I'm at.
Now,
just,
okay.
You know, it's just where I'm at. And
I'll put away
this $100,000. If you guys want to eat whatever it is that you want to eat, it's just not for me anymore. I've moved on.
Let me ask you one thing. When you do move on from things, you tend to get a tattoo. Like you have some band names, some fake wrestler names, radio show. Are you going to get like a steak or a chicken wing tattooed on you at some point just to signify what you used to love?
I think that is actually a terrific idea. I will make a point for the next tattoo. I will see. Maybe I'll get someone to come over for the radio show. Get my buddy Dave from Ron and Dave's Tattooing come over. Maybe I'll get a nice meat tattoo sometime in the near future.
But instead of ink, you should really use some buffalo sauce just to make
some
it smell good.
Sauce.
Yes.
Actual buffalo sauce, or maybe some blood from a cow. Terrific.
Yes, why not?
Excellent, gentlemen. As always, a fantastic show.
Bestinshowradio.com. Thank you, Chris, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Hey, Chris, are you still there, Chris?
No, he's gone. He left.
Okay. I want to mention that the last meat that Chris ate was his own skin tag.
Oh, he did eat his skin tag. That's true. Well, go to bestinshowradio.com. He's, he's trying to do his part. He leads a tortured life. He wants his beer. He wants his black and blue steaks. But you know what? He's got some willpower on him. I can sense it. I mean, I'm not the guy that does, because I'm pulling 4 and 5lobster rolls off of a fucking an hors d'oeuvre tray and telling the lady to come back with whatever tray she has next and shunning her if it's not up to my acceptance. But I don't know, Frank. The hors d'oeuvres were good. I stuffed myself on the fucking hors d'oeuvres, though. I ruined it on the cocktail hour. I didn't do that balance. Do you ever balance it out so you can enjoy the meal later?
No, I just eat like a glutton.
As soon as it's there, just
throw
it down.
You automatically take the napkin?
From the tray? No, but if they suggest it, I'll act like a... Oh, yes, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Are you a napkin on a lap person?
Yeah, but you know what? Not for comfort, not for habit, just for show. Just for show. I could care less. I drop. You know how many times I stain my clothes from eating? It really doesn't matter. And when you get the paper napkin, really, are we really gonna protect ourselves? The people that unfold the paper napkin and put it on their fucking lap, you're not doing anything. Now you're just putting on a fucking a ruse, trying to put on a fucking facade.
Do you ever tuck the cloth napkin under your shirt?
No. Am I in a rib eating contest?
No. But you, sometimes you will see people do that even in this establishments. But I was never able to get into the habit of putting the napkin on my lap. Although that's what you're supposed to do. I'm not a really napkin person.
Do you just take it and throw it on the floor so that nobody knows? They just assume it's gone.
Those cloth napkins. I mean, I've seen people blow their fucking nose with those things.
Oh God, they're the worst.
And then I'm gonna put it on my fucking mouth. And what's worse, they have these fucking waiters at these weddings. They come around and they fold each one of your fucking napkins while you're in the midst of eating. They fold it up real pretty and they place it back on your plate. Okay, so they're taking the fucking dirty napkin and they're fucking folding it and putting it back on your plate.
Oh
so
great!
I'm getting the guy next to me. I'm getting his fucking saliva all over my napkin.
Great, now my swan napkin has a big fucking orange spot all over its back. Who needs a dirty napkin to be fucking folded? It's the worst. Stop putting on a show. Once it's there, just do it. God damn it. Pissed me off. Oh, and you know what else I noticed in the cocktail hour? They were trying to be a little too dressy. And I don't know how I feel about this. This kind of grosses me out, Frank. The cloth gloves. Do you know what I'm talking about? When the waiters have the cloth gloves.
I adore the cloth gloves. I adore it.
Why?
Because I do not want to see any blemished hands touching my food.
Oh, but Frank, God, I can't believe you never thought of this, Frank. Those gloves are very thin sponges that are covering their hands. Anything they're touching. The dirty... Oh, I'll get your dirty plates. Oh, let me take that fork out of your fucking mouth. Let me do this. It's soaking into their hands. The glove, by the end of the evening, is purple with all the fucking... The oils and greases and all kinds of disgusting shit that soaks into their fucking hands. The bartender actually had... He was borrowing somebody's gloves. He had gloves that were too small for him. And the back of his hand was completely exposed. And it was see-through. It was stretched out so much. I could literally see fingernails through the cloth. It just looked out of place. I can't... You prefer a cloth glove.
I don't like seeing people's bare hands touching my food. I don't want to see anything on the hands that's going to make me nervous. So I like when the gloves are covered. When I moved to my house, we hired a moving company called White Glove Moving Service. because I thought that these people were going to be wearing gloves. Unfortunately, they did not wear gloves, and instead, one of them ripped his fucking hand open and bled all over my goddamn furniture.
Did you throw it out?
No, but I had a very. This both times we moved, both movers cut their fucking hands open while moving my shit.
Jesus.
Blood all over the fucking furniture. I was unable to sit for a couple weeks on my furniture because I had to wait for the contamination to be removed.
And you had it removed professionally, like what, steamed
out?
No,
I just had to let it go.
Let it rot. You have to wait for the half-life of the cells to die.
What I used to do was when I used to go out to dinner, I would always wait 5 minutes before for my food to, after it got on my table, I would have to wait 5 minutes before I ate it to ensure that any germs would go away.
Wow, I'm impressed that you were able to convince yourself that germs have a lifespan of 5 minutes.
Well, I'm talking about the big germ that we all know of.
Oh, well, okay, so you have read up on that. It dies when air.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Some uneasy moments during the wedding. Obviously, there's dancing. There's a dance floor. I was out there. I was doing my best. Okay, I don't claim to be a good dancer. I enjoy myself. But while I was out there, I was noticing that there was a gay couple at the wedding. And they were doing something, you know, very innocent. They were singing the words of the song to each other while dancing and moving, facing each other.
Now, when you say gay isn't happy?
Gay as in they probably sucked each other's dicks after this wedding.
They probably had
a few drinks and then sucked each other's dicks right after this wedding.
And I can kind of prove it
unless they're just very comfortable and big fans of the band that played this song, Frank.
Now, when they were on the dance floor dancing and singing to each other, did you have a hard time not looking? Were you drawn to them?
I kept looking. Listen. Just to verify, I'm like, man, that guy looks really, really gay. And I kept looking until I could just verify. Okay. Gay dudes. That's what it is. They're gay. No big deal. Move on. And the minute that I noticed that was when a song by Outkast came on called Hey Ya. Hey Ya. There's a part in the song where... And they were singing this to each other, right in their face, inches away from each other's faces. Okay, kind of gay. Could be like maybe they're just like too touchy-feely. But when they sung this particular line... Don't want to meet your mama, just want to make you comma. And when they said comma, they both fucking beamed with delight, staring into each other's eyes. And I instantly looked away. It was just the creepiest thing I've ever seen. And then the Easter pastel colored shirts and the tight fitting suits and the well-groomed hair and everything just started to lock into place, and it just made perfect sense. And I was just very uneasy at that point, Frank. Very uneasy indeed. Now, have you ever seen gay people dance with each other? I mean, this is the first for me. This is the first.
We have a cousin in our family, and he's an older gentleman. He's actually a widower.
And we have an feeling that he may be, and this is like a 60-year-old man, that maybe that we have a feeling he may be a homosexual because he took another man as his date to the wedding. He was dancing with him and everything. It doesn't bother me one iota.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can't help but look. I just like watching people dance. You know,
it's like you're watching nature. Like right. if I saw a family of gorillas interacting, I would sit back and watch a little bit because I don't know. I'm not a gorilla, and I want to say, oh my God, look, they greet each other just like we do.
I defy
homosexuals dance just like we do.
I defy a man to dance and not look feminine. When a man dances, you look feminine. No matter what, you look feminine when you dance.
You know what? Sometimes you just have to do it, Frank.
And you bounce around there like a fool. It's embarrassing. Dancing is embarrassing. You look like an idiot on the floor. You have a spaz attack, for Christ's sake.
I've been in both positions where I've been anti-dancing, and I've just said, fuck it, I'm just going to go and drink and dance. And I think the bigger douche is, and I've been this douche, is the guy that's, nope, I don't dance. And then you sit at a table, and you're like, yeah, that's right, I'm not dancing. And then everybody leaves you, and you're at this fucking table drinking alone. It's bad. It's just fucking bad. Just go out there and fucking shake, move, just twitch, just do anything, and then go sit down. Because then everybody will know that you're normal. That's what it is. You don't want to sit at a fucking table alone, sipping away your pain and in fucking protest of maybe being called gay for doing something that everybody's doing. I mean, it's not like they're having a dick sucking contest under the disco ball. You're going out there and you're moving your shoulders up and down to a drum beat. That's it. I don't know, Frank. I don't know.
You know, it's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
It's true. It's very true, Grandmaster Jerm. Appreciate that. Oh, but it is embarrassing to choreograph your dance. It's embarrassing if you go out there with a plan to do moves in sequence. At the wedding, in fact, there were two drunk white kids. They were practicing, and I say white because of what they were about to do. They were practicing a dance called, are you familiar with Soulja Boy, Frank?
No, I'm not.
Really? You've never heard this? How did you fucking avoid this?
So, could you sing a little bit of it?
Soulja Boy up in this, ho!
I'm not aware of that.
No, you don't know that one yet? Oh, really? I thought you would have known this. Your daughters had to have known this. Well, it's some silly-ass dance that looks like the end scene of Encino Man. Looks like the prom dance at Encino Man. And they were practicing in another room. And when they heard the song come on, they fucking rushed the stage and started and doing it together next to each other, side by side. And this wasn't the gay couple, although I think there may have been a second gay couple at the wedding. They were dancing side by side, doing this very poorly. And in the middle, like it's some kind of big fucking deal. But then at the end, it was met with tepid applause from what I can only discern was family members. But this is the song, Frank. The Soulja Boy dance. I don't know if I have a very long version here or what. Fuck it. Back three times from left. Yeah, this is it here. You've never heard this. I can't listen to it. Fuck it. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
I never heard that song before.
You! It's the worst thing. It's Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, basically. Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo! That's what the song is. It's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. But yeah, the wedding was good. The one thing that... you know, I've been going to a lot of weddings. You've pointed that out, Frank. The one thing that irritates me, Frank, the centerpiece. The fucking centerpiece. Sometimes there'll be a game. Oh, pass the napkin. Pass the dollar. Pass this, pass that. And then you win what? A centerpiece for you to take home. A big fucking prize. The fucking centerpiece. Well, the last few weddings we went to, there was no game. There was no one even trying to take the fucking centerpiece, although they were very beautiful. Who decides, I need the centerpiece? Every time. My girlfriend Amanda, every time, I want to take the centerpiece. And where does it end? ends up in my fucking house. She's not taking care of this fucking orchid. She's not taking care of the last one. It fucking died. I'll throw it outside. I hope it fucking dies. We have to drive home and support flowers so that it fucking lives. For what? I'm just going to take it to my office. No, you're not. I'll take them home. No, you won't. They end up here, they die, and we throw them out. Just let them throw them out, is what I say. Is your wife, Donna, at all interested in the centerpieces? Does she ever try to get
any
of these fucking things? You are!
Yes, because I figure I can get
what?
Them for free. I'm getting something for free, so I don't feel like when I give the gift of money, I feel like I'm getting something back. So I can at least get a gift of some sort.
Well,
so
well, you get the party favor.
I want to get the centerpiece.
You get the little favors or whatever. Maybe like the little candy-coated almonds or the.
Oh, those things are nasty.
Those are great. You only get them at weddings, but lately, Frank, there have been the cards that you get at weddings.
Cards
instead of a favor. In lieu of favors, we've donated money to charity.
Oh.
And that makes you feel okay. I mean, I'm not looking to get anything out of this. I went to the wedding. I feel good about that, not because people are being helped or some organization that's really good and beneficial will continue on for a little longer. I feel good that I don't have to carry around shit in my pockets. And then at the end of the night, I have to carry around a fucking planter. I'm carrying around a fucking pot to my car. I look like I'm stealing from the building. When you walk out with a potted plant from a fucking restaurant or a fucking banquet hall, you look like you're stealing. And you have to drive supporting it, making sure it doesn't fall over. It's a nightmare. But you want it because it's free.
I want it because I give that monetary gift, which is usually upwards of several hundred dollars.
Wow.
So I figure, well, listen, at least I'll get something out of it. I'll get some type of, you know, gift for myself.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with a fucking matchbook with the names of the fucking couple on it? I don't even fucking smoke.
Yeah, you're going to keep it forever. Oh, hey, look, I need to light the grill. Oh, remember that wedding? Give me the fucking match and shut your mouth. There have been weddings that you just have the matchbooks around, but then you know they disintegrate and stop working.
Why do they stop with the, you know, what's, why do they stop? A lot of weddings they go to nowadays, they don't do the fucking cake cutting ceremony, a lot of them. They don't do the fucking alley cat. You know, what's going on
here?
Wait,
what's this? The alley cat?
The alley cat? They don't do the alley cat anymore.
What's the alley cat?
It's a dance at weddings.
When?
You never heard of the alley cat?
No. Was that with the Hucklebuck?
No, the alley cat.
I don't know what the alley cat is. Explain.
It's a dance that you dance at weddings.
How does it go? Did you ever do the alley cat?
That? You never heard of that?
Wow, no. No. I've never heard this.
Never. They don't do a lot of them don't do the cake cutting ceremony anymore where they sing that song, "The Bride Cuts the Cake." They don't do that anymore.
No, they
why?
Play, they play songs that they think are very hip that are original choices.
Right.
Like when the guys come up, why don't you play "Who Let the Dogs Out"? That'll be hilarious.
God.
They're gonna run up and, there. They're
we
gonna be
get
like
it.
The dogs.
Enough with playing "Bad Boys, Bad Boys." What you gonna do when they go for the fucking garter?
Or "The Boys Are Back in Town"? Oh, Jesus Christ! It's all the same fucking four songs.
I think they're being so creative.
Oh, they do. They all think they're so fucking just perfectly unique. Oh, it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. The boys are back. The boys are back. And honestly, they're getting more creative with the songs for the dance with the parents. I mean, and it's good because for years we were cursed with that "Daddy's Little Girl" song. All these other things that people are like really going deep with, like some fucking Dylan or fucking Beatles song or whatever. But again, weddings, you know, let me say something about weddings. No disrespect to the couple that got married last Friday. Summer weddings are appalling. Summer weddings are punishment. You know, women, they can wear their fucking dress. They wear less than they normally wear. Men have to fucking bundle up in fucking 80, 90 degree heat. I have to wear a jacket, a fucking tie, shirt tucked. Like, I have to get bundled up. It's the most fucking irritating thing in the entire world. you have to be with me on this, Frank.
I'm with you, but there is something else that bothers me about weddings. But I am with you. But you know, put the air conditioner on; it's fine. But I see your point.
You put the air conditioning on, but there's gonna be a time when, oh, okay, it's in between the ceremony and the reception. Now I have to be outside.
Yeah. The worst part.
Nightmare.
A fucking 5-hour gap between the fucking church and the goddamn reception.
We did the church at 2 just so we could book our special place. We'll see you guys at 9 for the reception. Okay?
And then you don't know what to do for those fucking 4 hours.
I already drove 3 hours to get here. I can drive 3 hours back home. I could maybe look in the mirror and say, well, back to it, and then drive back. I'm sitting around like an asshole at some local bar in a suit. Whatever you decide to do to kill time, you're not dressed for it. You sit on a park bench in a suit, fucking go to a McDonald's in a suit. What the fuck am I going to do? I can't eat. I shouldn't, because I'm going to be eating soon. I can't go get a drink, because, you know, there's going to be a plethora of free drinks later on. And I'm just going to get dirty. And I don't like getting my fucking suit dirty, because I want to keep it as clean as possible for the next unfortunate event that I have to attend.
The worst thing about weddings is the following. Please, ladies, please, don't take your shoes off when you're dancing on the dance floor.
Oh, this bothers you.
Oh, my God. These women take their fucking shoes off and start dancing in their stocking feet, and some of them are bare feet. I don't want the fucking stench of feet.
Now, Frank, what's worse, women's feet or men's feet?
You know, men don't take their shoes off when they're dancing.
Oh, you want to fucking bet? Soldier Boy was getting ready for the flood. He took off his fucking shoes.
Okay, that's a little fruity for me.
Yeah, it is. You should never expose your feet when you're in dressed up attire, unless you're walking through a stream.
Women, please keep the shoes on. I don't care how much they hurt. Next time, don't wear shoes that hurt. Don't take your shoes off. I don't want to see your disgusting, fucking foul-smelling pieces of nothingness.
Pieces of nothingness. Makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. But all in all, despite the complaints and the awkward moments with the gays, not a bad event. Not a bad event. It was my birthday. Frank, by the way, my name is Ken. I'm 29 years old. Is your air conditioning on? Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're 29. This is your last year of the 20s. How do you feel?
I feel good. I don't feel old, but I'm realizing more and more things that I'm too old for now. You know what I mean? Like, you've obviously you've passed this, because you're archaic at this point. But I couldn't go to a college party at my age. Not that I would want to, but I would be the old guy. I am too old for that. I'm too old to go to a college bar. I'm too old to ever have aspirations of being a professional athlete by several years. I'm old now. I am an old guy. If people in their early 20s were to say, oh, my friend Ken's coming. Oh, yeah, he's 29. They would say, oh, God, he's old. I'm old. I'm cool with it. Completely fine. But it's kind of interesting to feel young, to always think of yourself as youthful, but to actually be old. It's an interesting thing.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because now you know what I'm going through.
Yeah, but Fred, you should have stopped going through it 20 years ago when you were officially old.
I mean, there's a lot, you can say that about a lot of things. You know, the fact of the matter is, you're 29 years old. You're going to be 30 next year. And the most important thing is that about a year and a half ago, we made a little bit of a wager.
Yeah.
That you would be doing something by the time of you're 30.
And I will. I will.
Okay.
But I will be a homeowner before I'm 30. I promise you this. I've been house.
Do you want to make a little wager?
What do you want to do? What do you want to do, Frank?
I don't know. Let's think of something, and we'll make a wager.
Next week, we'll talk about the wager.
Yes.
When Ed McGrath reveals his AIDS test results.
Is that next week?
I don't know when it is. If it ever is going to be. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get it. I hope and pray that we'll see a crying Ed just pull back the tab on an envelope, open it up, and read whatever it actually is. I don't want Ed to have AIDS, but...
It would be entertaining.
It would be... Probably, it would be talked about by a lot of people. It would be. But our friend Ed is going to die. I mean, that's the price for, like, maybe a week of you know, tepid notoriety. But for my birthday, Frank, we decided to go on a pizza tour. We went to like fucking tourists. I mean, I've lived near New York. I see New York news. I'm basically in the New York area, and I never go there. Never. So now I'm the big tourist going to my favorite pizza spots that I've read about. But now I actually get to go there. 4 places in 2 days. Frank, we ate fucking 4 pizzas. We ate 4 fucking pies. Me and Amanda. Just us. Amanda and me. 4 fucking pizzas. We went to Grimaldi's in Brooklyn, Lombardi's in Manhattan, Number 28 in Manhattan, and John's. Now... Let me tell you something, Frank. Are you familiar with Lombardi's?
No, I'm not.
Lombardi's is the first pizzeria in America, basically. It's been on Food Network, all that shit. I've been looking forward to this for a very long time. We actually went on... We attempted a pizza tour and ended up at fucking Sparrow's in Times Square. We couldn't find a fucking pizzeria. We ended up eating a slice at fucking Sparrow's and calling it a goddamn day. That's how fucking terrible we were at this. But I got around to going, finally. Very disappointing. Expensive.
Really?
Expensive and touristy.
Define touristy pizza.
Not crispy enough. Mass-produced feeling. Not mass-produced, but it tasted that way. Tasted that way a little bit. A little bit. Grimaldi's, however... Fantastic. By the way, both places, astounding waits. Grimaldi's, we were in line for like an hour. We got seated. We got our... we got food. We didn't get our food. They kind of messed our order up a little bit. They gave our fucking pizza to the people at the end of the tables. Now, the seating arrangements, Frank, it's a long table with like 6 chairs around it. Ugh. So couples have to sit at the same table.
Oh,
so
God.
You're sitting next to people... that are having a fucking argument. We were sitting next to an older couple where this fucking bitch in this relationship, just the crabbiest fucking old bitch ever. When I told you one of mushrooms! When I told you! Calm down, I know we can get mushrooms. But I told you 7 minutes ago to be here! Why don't you have a beer? I'll have a beer when I want a beer! Like, we're trying to enjoy our fucking self, and Mickey Mouse voice next to me is having the worst day of
the life. So they gave your pizza to the people on the end?
Yes.
Did you realize it when they were getting the pizza that it was your pizza?
I saw... We ordered... Because we wanted to sample the plain, and then we wanted to get something just to eat, like sausage or toppings or whatever. So we got a half plain, half sausage, and we got a large. I saw exactly what we had going to the end of the table to people that... Yes, they were already there before us. So I'm like, wow, that's a coincidence. That looks like a large... half sausage, half plain. And then all of a sudden, voices are aflutter behind the counter where they're making it. They're like, oh, shit. The guy goes over to their table after they're like 2 slices in. They go, you know, you're eating a large. You're eating a large. They go to them. Like, oh, I didn't know. And they bring us out a small pizza. And they go, listen, we got a small pizza with mushrooms and sausage on it. You want it?
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
We just want... Weren't you fucking aggravated and livid?
But, Frank, he followed it up with, we'll charge you for a small plane. Okay, fine. It ended up being better than I expected, Frank. It was probably the best out of all of them.
But this other couple, it was just coincidence that they ordered the same exact pizza as you?
They didn't order that. In fact, they just accepted what was ever put down in front of them. They didn't say anything. They did what I would normally do, not argue with the people handing the food.
Oh.
But I didn't argue with these people because he was offering me a cheaper meal. And then he came out with free beer. He said, here, this is on us. And so I'm enjoying some free beer. I'm enjoying cheaper pizza. And it was very tasty. Very,
but yet
very
you were
tasty.
Hungry because it was a small.
It was the perfect amount of food. Keep in mind, Frank, two people and a whole pie. Okay? Amanda doesn't eat much. She ate four slices, though, this time.
Holy shit!
Yeah, she ate four fucking slices. And so did I. Again, small pizza. But still, I expected her to do two, but we didn't eat all day. This was our first meal.
Now you stayed overnight in New York?
Yeah, we did. We stayed at some hotel that Amanda had picked out. No, not the Plaza.
Oh.
I mean, it's not fucking Home Alone. I'm not going to stay at the Plaza Hotel with my fucking recorder or whatever it was. Was that the Plaza in Home Alone? Do you even remember? You don't even know.
It was Trump's. It was Trump's hotel, whatever hotel that is. The Plaza, isn't it?
I don't fucking know.
So you had a good time.
Yeah, we did. Now, Frank, what are your top five pizzas? What do you look for in a pizza?
I like a thick, chewy, doughy crust. I don't like the thin crust pizzas. I don't like that.
Really?
I like it thick so that when my fingers go in the crust, it makes little fucking thumb fucking fingerprints
okay,
in there.
Okay, now give me an example. What was the best thick crust pizza you've ever had?
It varies. The pizzerias around here, one time they can make you a good pizza 1 week, then 2 weeks later you get the same pizza from the same place, and it sucks. There's no consistency.
Well, did you ever go to anything that served like a Chicago-style pizza or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Pizza Uno.
So you went to Pizzeria Uno, the chain.
And I tell you, it's fucking outstanding out of this world.
It's not bad. Is it outstanding out of this world? No.
I think it is, and that's my opinion.
And I can say this as someone who has been to Chicago once, and I've eaten at Giordano's.
You actually flew to Chicago specifically for Chicago-style pizza. Isn't that correct?
Chicago hot dogs, Chicago pizza.
You know, it must be nice to have the money you have just to fly somewhere.
And Italian beef and a Cubs game. I took in the whole city, Frank. This is what I like to do. I like to travel. I like to see things. I think you should go to Chicago just for the pizza. You should go if you liked Pizzeria Uno, Frank. You would marvel and fucking die happy.
Do you like Sicilian pizza?
Giordano's. It's okay. It's all right. But a lot of times, you know what? It tastes like a paste. It tastes like I'm eating some kind of a fucking mold or something like that.
A lot of people in other parts of the country don't even know what a Sicilian pizza is. Are you aware of this?
Why don't you explain it? See, I know, but people don't.
A Sicilian pizza is a very thick, doughy, crusted square pizza.
And it's about and it's about a quarter African, so.
Pardon me.
It's a quarter African, Sicilians.
The problem.
Are you Sicilian, Frank?
No, I'm not. I'm Napoli Don and Calabrese.
Oh, excuse me.
A lot of times these pizzerias will give you what's called a shell. They'll give you a pre-made shell with their Sicilian pizzas. I don't like the pre-made shells. I like the homemade fresh dough.
But how do you know? How can you tell?
You could tell that it's a fucking shell because it tastes like styrofoam.
But you can't tell from looking at it. You'll see the Sicilian square
pizza.
You
don't even know what I mean by shell.
I absolutely do.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Okay, again, you want to call me out for fucking talking about an hors d'oeuvre tray? And you want to say that I don't know what a fucking shell is?
What I'm trying to have you do is explain to the people who don't know what we're talking about. Don't you understand?
Yeah, now you and I both do, motherfucker. A shell is a preformed piece of dough that's frozen. They order them, and then they just put shit on them, and they fucking bake them. And it's flavorless. It's like a blown-up version of the cafeteria French bread pizzas, which were delicious. But let's face it, it's not the greatest thing in the world.
And the reason they do that
Goatweed says the shell is like a bubbly, which is the type of pizza that Donna makes for you.
You know what? I'm not even going to go there. But first of all, the best pizza I ever had is my wife's pizza. I will say that. She makes the best pizza of all time. Now, what I'm going to say is as follows. The reason they utilize those shells is because I guess it saves time because, sometimes it can take an hour or so to make a Sicilian pizza.
Yeah. I mean, do you have one place that you would say, listen,
no,
if you want good pizza, you go here?
No, I don't, because I can go somewhere, like I said, and the week later, it sucks. I like fresh garlic on my pizza. I like fresh garlic.
It's good. I don't know. I would say that the pizza I've had this weekend, And I never wanted to be this guy. I never wanted to be it. Frequently, you'd go out to lunch for pizza, and you'd go with a coworker who lived in New York. And every fucking time, you have to hear from the guy, "This ain't pizza." Every fucking time, "This ain't fucking pizza." I'm like, it's just fucking eat it. But you know what? He's fucking right. The guy's right. It's pizza, sure. It's bad pizza, though. The pizza that I ate in New York is easily the best. Second to Chicago.
Not every pizza.
Second to the thick, delicious deep dish crust of Giordano's.
Not every single pizza place in New York is good. You're classifying it as like all New York pizza is good, and that's just not the
case.
No,
I didn't say that. The pizza that I had. I didn't eat at every pizzeria. I ate at some that were listed as being among the best. Among the best, Frank. So I don't know. I think that you should try it. Yeah, definitely. We had to carry slices out. We didn't want to leave our fucking slices. We didn't finish every pie. So I was carrying a fucking plastic bag with wrapped up slices in it.
You know what would have topped that evening off is if there was a store that had just rice pudding for dessert.
Oh, it's interesting that you say that, Frank, because
why?
Right outside of Lombardi's, when we were waiting this ungodly amount of time to eat, you know, substandard pizza, we saw a place called Rice to Riches. All they fucking sell, rice pudding. Now, I don't like rice pudding. Amanda loves it. She wanted to go in there. We went in there. It's all fucking like peach, chocolate, strawberry, different flavors, different toppings. But what irritated me the most, the fucking signage, the marketing. "No skinny bitches allowed. We got your diet right here." Oh, God, I get it. It's fattening. Just stop with the witty, sassy fucking language to sell me dessert food.
The funny thing with rice pudding is it's that I did not like it as a kid, but I adore it now. I love rice pudding. Rice pudding is nothing but vanilla pudding with rice in it.
Yeah, it's true, Frank, but you know what? I was just turned off. I was turned off. It's all neon colors. It's all rounded edges. No sharp lines, nothing. Just everything is all sassy and supposed to be witty. It's like, "There's a surcharge." It literally said next to the menu, and obviously it's a fucking terrible joke. "There's a surcharge for people who've never eaten rice pudding before."
Oh, God.
Like, you're part of the in crowd now. You're in rice pudding heaven. And you know what was what I found ironic? Nothing but Asians in there. I have a feeling they were all lured. They saw rice, and they just wound up in there. Like, "Ooh, I found a place of full of rice." But literally every customer except us, Asian, just pawing away at this.
Well, were the employers, were the workers Asian?
No, the customers. I'm saying they were lured in by the name of the place.
Oh.
And listen, I don't mean to be racist. As Goodweed, holy shit. Goatweed is pointing out. He said good stuff.
You had good weed?
No, I didn't have good weed, Frank. I don't smoke drugs. God damn it. I hate misspeaking because it makes me more like you, Frank. Now I have to worry about slime molds and fingerprints and all kinds of sweaty beads. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. But, Frank, yeah, it was my birthday. That was my birthday weekend. And for the first time, I walked over the Brooklyn Bridge. Never did it before. I mean, it seems odd. It seems odd, but it's no worse than you being nearly 40 and getting drunk for the first time.
Now, explain this. You walked over the Brooklyn Bridge. You walked from... where does the Brooklyn Bridge go to?
Manhattan to Brooklyn.
Okay, so you were in Manhattan and you walked to Brooklyn?
Well, we took a train to Brooklyn. Got off, ate pizza, and walked back.
Oh, so these pizzerias are all in Brooklyn that you went to?
No, one of them was. If you were listening, I said one was in Brooklyn. The others were in Manhattan. Now, Frank, the Brooklyn Bridge, I don't know if you... Are you familiar with it at all? You've never been on it?
I don't know if I've been on it or not, no.
I think you would know.
Yeah. I've been on the DWB.
There's a walkway in the middle. There's a wooden plank, like a deck, with a line painted down the middle. The left side, pedestrians. The right side, the cyclists. People on bikes and other devices and other vehicles that are man-powered. And frequently, the pedestrians would just find themselves in the bike lane, basically. And these fucking people in their goddamn Olympian cyclist outfits, the fucking full spandex, like you're sponsored by somebody. honestly, you're riding on a weekend. Do you need the full fucking outfit? Are you shaving that much time off of getting from one side of the bridge to the other by wearing your fucking spandex?
They're showing off.
Yeah, it's all for show. It's all fucking annoying. But they would all hop off, like, instantly, like jump off the seat and land on their feet, like basically banging their balls on the bar so they didn't run into this idiot who was, you know, staring at the off the side of the bridge. And they would yell in some kind of a foreign tongue at them. Get off the bridge! Just yelling at these people. Oh, I'm sorry! I'm sorry! And people feel very, very embarrassed. It happened literally every 25 feet. Every 25 feet. It was a fantastic thing. And and people walking with luggage, they would force you into the bike lane. And when you're in that fucking bike lane, the last thing you want to do, the only thought in your mind is, please don't let me get hit by a Mexican on a bike. Please don't let me be that fucking guy.
Were you hoping that somebody jumped from the bridge?
No, actually, I hadn't thought that. I was actually preoccupied looking down. You're walking on a wooden deck, and you know when you're on a deck, Frank, the boards shrink and you can see below where you are?
Yes.
So as you're walking, it's kind of like a flip book. You begin seeing how the road is under you. It's very far. It's impressive. And then you see a little bit of land, and then all of a sudden you're over water. Now, are you the type that gets freaked out being on a bridge?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you be able to walk on this bridge knowing that you could see the water below you? And all you're on is an inch-thick piece of oak or wood or whatever it is. Whatever
I think type. That's what would... It wouldn't bother me so much if there's water underneath me. But walking on, like, wood would bother me because I'd be afraid that the plank would just, you know, become loose. That would bother me the most.
Yeah.
Like you go over bridges, and there's a point in some, like, if there's some bridges where you go over the point of them, and they become like they're metal grates. You're going over metal grates almost.
When you drive over that in your car, it feels like you're in a fucking slip. You white knuckle over that piece. Don't touch the brake. Don't touch the brake. Don't touch the brake. Don't touch the gas. Don't touch anything. Just go straight, and then drive when you hit the asphalt. It's the greatest thing in the world. Being off of that, being on it, most nerve wracking thing ever. But I have to say, even though I'm not really scared of heights, it takes you back looking down through this thing and thinking, holy shit, I'm on this fucking bridge right now. I'm on it, and I can see the water. And I know this sounds very touristy to people that live in the area, people that make that a part of their commute, part of their exercise, whatever. It's just part of their life. It's like walking across the street for them. But to me, it's fucking awe-inspiring. This thing is over, 120-something years old? I don't even know. I know it's over 100. It's been around, and I'm walking on it. It just fucking takes me back, Frank. It makes me think a little bit about life.
You're overcome with this bridge.
I enjoyed it. If I lived nearby, I would probably walk it... never. I'd probably never go on it ever again. But going on it at least once, was a fantastic thing. And about the cyclists, Frank, I want to just say something. You've bought a bike, okay? You own a bike, a helmet, spandex, whatever. You want to be healthy, exercise, get fit. I'm not opposed to any of these fucking things, okay? Do as you please. As long as you stop pretending you're on a fucking vehicle worthy of using roads. I understand you have rubber tires. I understand you think that you've heard this whole share the road campaign. You think it's a great idea. It opened your eyes. But is it really fair to cap my fucking car speed at 10 miles an hour because there's no way for me to pass you? There's traffic on either side. But you're in front of my fucking car and I can't mow you down and kill you. Because you're sharing the road. Is this fucking fair that people on fucking bikes can ride in a lane for cars?
Right. What's worse is when sometimes you'll see people, these cyclists, don't even obey the traffic signals. They'll go through a fucking red light. They'll just ride their bike through a red light.
I can't do this! You want to share the road with me, you should share the fucking rules. You have to do that faggoty raise your right arm thing to turn. You don't do it. Most people on bikes don't fucking do it. But they should. They absolutely should, and that's why I think that we should institute something, a new traffic law, Frank. We have the speed limits, right? We need a fucking minimum speed. We need a fucking minimum speed to get these fucking bike jerk-offs off the fucking road. Every fucking day in the summer, in the spring, in the fall, these fucking people decide, I'm going to train for the Tour de France. And then, like, you are fucking up so many people's fucking days by pretending you're Lance Armstrong. Or whatever. Or Greg LeMond. Or whoever the fuck. I don't even know cyclist names. If they don't lose a testicle or bang Sheryl Crow. I just don't fucking know it. Put a minimum speed limit in place. If you can't travel 25 miles an hour, you probably don't belong on the fucking road. I mean, you're on a fucking mountain bike, riding the goddamn grass. Get off the road. I can't tell you how many fucking times it just puts me into a fucking frenzy. A goddamn angry fucking froth that I'm screaming through a windshield at a person in a fucking helmet and patriotic colored spandex with ads on it. Get the fuck off the road! I can't, just every morning lately. Every morning. There's no bike lane. People in the city have a bike lane. Whatever. You know, that's a fucking luxury, okay? We have two lanes in a back road. This fucking asshole decides this is his spot. He's going to share the road with me. Get off the road!
I didn't know you felt so strongly about
this. I hate a bike. I like riding a bike, believe me. And when I'm on one, I stay to the fucking side.
What bike do you have as a kid?
I had a BMX, standard BMX bike. And then I graduated to the mountain bike. And I'll tell you what, Frank, not once did I ever think I was privileged enough to have the fucking balls to drive in a car's lane. To ride this bike in the fucking lane where a car should be. Always on the side of the road. Always on the sidewalks if I could. In the dirt. In the fucking grass. Why? I am not a goddamn car. I'm a chain, two pedals, and a couple of fucking wheels. And I shouldn't be considered something worthy of using the roads. I can't tell you how fucking annoying it is to me, Frank. I mean, do you never feel this way? Ever?
I don't get this frustrated. Like, I have other things to frustrate me, enough things to frustrate me. But I feel sorry for you.
I saw a guy on a Segway on the road. I mean, I know that's illegal. I fucking know it's illegal. You're on a 40-mile-an-hour road. You don't have rights. You made a poor purchase and a poor decision. You should be fucking killed right now. You should have a Honda logo imprinted in your spine. Oh, God damn it. I don't know, Frank. On that note, I just want to play something just to remind you. Just to remind you, Frank, who got it right. My prediction is 12-Pack's going to be in the finals. He's going to lose, and he will get his own show. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Is that a prediction?
Wow.
And it'll be 12-Pack of Love.
Heard it here first.
Yes. Thank you for listening to episode 221 of the DJ New Style Show. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Go to HearUsTalk.com. Why not? Movie night. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. We'll be watching a movie, and Jeff will be tearing it to shreds. Thursday night, 8 to 11, Best in Show Radio. Friday nights, 9:30 to 12:30, The What Show. Also, I want to say special thanks to ICU2.com. That's ICU, the number 2.com. Video chat, face-to-place. Face-to-place? Is that what it is? No, it's face-to-face anyplace. Fuck your slogan. Go there and download it. It's great. Frank, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes, I do. Cue the music.
It's on.
I don't hear it.
Okay, here you go.
But this is us! Yeah, no! Shut up! You're talking to a fucking sign! No, you be quiet! I miss you guys! I haven't seen you in so long, we gotta get together! I'm gonna kick all your friends' ass! Outside? 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 Wani! Oh, my back! Kent, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes. You're an asshole! Fuckface, preaching at home, boy. Gee, I can't even get out of that damn window. It's a fucking snooze. Fuckface. Nah, I'm good. Thanks. We'll be right back.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hasha! Hasha! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!